Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, like a book club for people hate reading. This week was theater picks. We picked Wonder Woman, made in 2017, along with a season finale of American Gods. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's a description for Wonder Woman, made in 2017. Before she was Wonder Woman, she was Diana, princess of the Amazon, trained warrior. When a pilot crashed, tells of conflict in the outside world, she leaves home to fight a war, discovering her full power and true identity, which is pretty much how exciting this movie was. I don't believe I'm saying this, but this movie was on the verge of exciting. It was, I don't know, this movie was kind of forgettable to me. It's a stereotypical, you know, comic book movie, origin story, reason she fought. Feels bad for doing something. I'll give it a 3 to 5 because I'm glad to see a Wonder Woman movie that didn't make Wonder Woman look like danger prone Daphne. But overall, I'm not really impressed.
Chris, she still was kind of danger prone Daphne to me.
A little bit, but not as bad as some heroines have been in the past.
All right, okay, I'll give you that. You know, I kind of got to go with you on this one. I'm really only giving this a 3.5. There just wasn't enough dead Nazis for me. And
you need to watch Dead Snow, though.
Decapitated heads. I mean, come on. I mean, they did this in 2009 as an animated film. It was fantastic. She was pretty much bloodthirsty, and it was amazing.
But the difference, though, this is a movie that you could possibly take your little girl to, if versus
it was PG-13 too. I mean, they didn't have blood squirting everywhere. They just could have done the whole thing in black and white, just like a Quentin Tarantino, and you know, still pulled off PG-13.
It's harder to explain your little girl why Wonder Woman just decapitated somebody.
They needed a circumcision. What? Yes, I said that.
That's a rough way to get
just
a circumcision.
Snip a tip.
Ryan?
He's trying not to die over there.
I was just like, Jesus Christ, here we go.
At least you know who's to call for delivery.
Here we go.
No, look, I mean, this movie was a very, very solid movie. 4.5 for me. I mean, it was the best of the DC universe so far. You know, I'm glad that they kind of got out of it in 2005, and they were able to put it in with the new sort of extended universe without it being just its own standalone thing. I like that she's, you know, integrated into the Justice League thing. I love that they spent so much time on the origin story. Yeah, James, yeah. They did do the animated one, and they fucking cut a lot of heads off, and it was badass. But that was more for us. You know what I mean? This was a more obviously, she still killed a lot of people, man.
Hold on. I just want to point this out because I wasn't even like 5 minutes into this movie before I had my first issue. The kid, Diana, when she kind of like goes falling down, jumping over the roofs of that house, that was freaking not even blue screen. That was green screen effects. Nope. That was horrible.
Green screen is better than blue screen.
Or whatever. Anyways, it was just horribly done. And the budget they had for it, there is no excuse for that. So it already like started falling apart right then and there for me. Now, I do got to agree with you. I did enjoy the fact that they did kind of really get into the origin story of it, which was really nice. But
it's one of my favorite origin stories, by the way.
Really?
Well,
I love the whole, you know, hears about this other world, kind of dreams about the thing, and then all of a sudden this dude who she's never seen before or any mankind at all, he falls onto the beach. I mean, they obviously added a couple of things, but then just her very, very sheltered Amazon Themyscira ways, then juxtaposed with the real world. That was what I was looking forward to.
Okay.
You know, her attitude. They even actually threw in my favorite scene from the animated version when she tells the ice cream guy he should be very proud of himself.
That is true. That was one of my favorite scenes.
And
as
I agree with Ryan. This is my favorite DC movie so far. Much
really?
Better.
Okay. Are we all forgetting Doctor Strange? I'm just throwing that out there.
That's Marvel.
But you're throwing
Clown.
I mean, that's my favorite DC movie. It's much better than the Ben Affleck Batman. At least she's actually known for killing people.
Wait, hold on. I got to throw this out there. And yes, I am going to be defending Ben Affleck's Batman right now. So you're just going to have to shut up and bear with my thought.
Hold on.
We have not had Ben Affleck's Batman yet. We've only had Batman versus Superman. So we don't even have his standalone movie yet.
I would say you can foreshadow his Batman because of what they did in the Batman versus Superman.
Well, but I think they have established in this particular, I think they've established this universe. They're definitely not going back to an origin story.
No,
that's
not at
for
all.
Damn sure. They've realized, okay, everybody fucking knows 80 years worth of Batman, how he became Batman.
And like
okay,
90,
we don't have to go over
years
that
worth of Superman.
So it seems like they're going just straight deep into the universe, cold open. Here you go, thrown right in the middle. Right.
If anything, I could see it being kind of, I think they foreshadowed it in the Batman versus Superman when Batman was captured trying to get kryptonite. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes that far in. I'd be cool if they did instead of the
That's
typical
part that bothers me. Batman would never get caught.
I did like this a lot better than Batman versus Superman. I thought it was well put together.
That's not hard to do.
There was nothing about this movie that super excited me. I loved the opening and the origin. That was my favorite part. I loved how when they came up to London, she's like, it's so ugly. And Chris Pine's like, yeah, it's not for everybody.
So
there are parts in this movie I really like.
But you kind of said in the beginning that it was just kind of meh.
It is.
All throughout for you.
There was nothing that I could stand out and say it was amazing. I liked parts of the movie, but altogether, to me, it was almost a warmed-over action movie.
Oh, man, I totally disagree. I thought it was incredibly well character-driven. The writing was fucking great. They held true to the canon. It was exciting scene to scene. There was fun things scene to scene. The chemistry Gal Gadot had with Chris Pine... fucking perfect. There was nothing wrong with this movie aside from maybe the overuse of CGI, even though I really liked, you know, what's his name, Ares pulling together the fucking armor at the end.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. The
overuse of CGI, that's really about all you can fault this thing for.
Honestly, when it comes to a superhero movie, I think that's the least of its issues, because obviously they're going to have to use CGI for some things, because it's just not possible to do practical effects for certain things.
Of course, and my point is the low bar at this point is got to be The Hobbit, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Talk about taste the cut Technicolor rainbow.
Really?
You know, I actually got to agree with Ryan on the fact that throughout, I think this is a very well story-driven film. As far as I'm concerned, this is just basically who can be outdone here, DC or Marvel. And that's what we have driving Hollywood right now. Is just this competition between DC and Marvel. And I actually got to say, for me, DC's leading the charge right now. They've come back from some of the mistakes with the, what was it? It was the Returner Superman. Was that the really shitty one with the young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor.
Superman Returns.
That was
the worst movie.
Yeah, that one was.
Kevin Smith was always a fan of saying he didn't punch a single fucking person in that entire movie.
Yeah,
it was like 2.5 hours long. And nobody got punched in the fucking face.
Yeah, and not only that, but this one's like even worse than the Richard Pryor Superman from the 80s.
Was that Quest for Peace or was that 3?
I think that was the one with the robot. I think that was Quest for Peace, right?
Yeah, it was the one with the robot. I don't know.
Anyways, if you guys aren't out there and you haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it and then watch Return of Superman and tell me which one is worse.
Superman Returns. And
I don't give a crap.
If anything, watch the Richard Pryor one just to see him as a computer genius.
Yeah. Now, the only two things that really bothered me about this film is, like I said, in the opening sequence when the little kid kind of jumps and then all of a sudden it goes to blue screen and it just looked horrible. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no excuse for that with the budget you guys had. The other thing that really started bothering me, and Ryan might understand this one, is the fact that they started this weird guitar, drum, solo, Spartacus-sounding thing during every fight sequence.
I fucking loved the score.
Oh my God, you like that? That was from this TV show, HBO totally Spartacus. They ripped it off. This is like Queen versus Vanilla Ice to me.
But you're talking to a drummer here. I mean, you got to pick your audience for this complaint.
And I understand that they were going for the kind of arena-type feel, but they didn't have electric guitars or drums. Like, full drum sets.
Give a shit. It was a fucking dope score.
It
they didn't
was
have
annoying.
An 82-piece,
see, that
they didn't have an 82-piece orchestra in fucking a galaxy far, far away, but you still fucking like...
Are we comparing George Lucas's budget from the 70s to the budget of 2017? I mean, come on. That part you can buy.
No, hold on. Unless we're talking about the Great Gatsby having hip hop in it.
You know, God.
Unless
it's a score.
Well, oh
my God.
I dug the score, dude. I thought it was fucking
awesome. Why don't you go buy it? So I'll be actually. When it comes out, I'm sure they have it.
Not the bloody son.
I'm actually with Ryan. That part didn't bother me. I mean, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to build up more. That part didn't bother me at all.
I guess you guys just haven't watched the HBO Spartacus Blood and Sand and all that bullshit enough. I mean,
no,
but
why the fuck
horrible.
Would I? It's the stupidest show of all time.
That's why I'm watching this, and I'm like, why are you making me remember?
I've played Halo.
The guy who just bitched about CGI, and then you're gonna bring up fucking Spartacus on me?
It was crap. It bothered the shit out of me. It's giving me member berries.
The worst CGI use of all time. Fuck the Hobbit, dude. Has to be Spartacus.
Good point.
No, I was gonna say,
that's HBO budget.
As far as annoying soundtracks go, no, I haven't watched Spartacus, but I've played enough Halo to hate anything that sounds like that. So I understand annoying soundtracks, but that to me was forgivable. There was nothing in this movie to me that was bad. Just stuff that just didn't super, just wasn't impressed. It could be for me, because the fact there's so many superhero movies at this point that there has to be, for me, and I'm just saying this for me, there's nothing that stands out anymore because you've seen at least 10 movies that are very similar. Iron Man is very similar in story.
Well, that's where I can understand where you're coming from, is that the waters have gotten a bit muddied lately.
Yeah, muddied. They're Technicolor, dude.
If this movie was made, this exact movie,
lots of blues
even
and reds.
Like in 2008, I probably would have loved this movie because it's like awesome. It's a character I kind of like. And she's being a badass character instead of kind of what I always thought she was traditionally. How they changed her story-wise is the part to me that I thought was the coolest change. It's a little weird, but I was like, that's cool. It's a change that makes a little bit better sense than some, ooh, I've got some magic underwear that somehow makes me invincible. Which the original story was, that's what the costume was.
I mean, obviously it was a whole bondage issue in the heyday, but
even if you look in like this, the 80s and 70s, like Challenge of the Super Friends, that was her story. You know, she was made by Hera, you know, her mom prayed for a daughter, made something out of clay. I think if I remember correctly, Hera said, yes, she, won a gladiator competition, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of the story originally, but the difference was she was never, spoiler alert, was never a god herself. Yeah. This is the first time that, at least from when I paid attention, she could be a god now in the comic books. I haven't read anything of her there.
Well, they definitely didn't imply that she was a god. They implied that she was a weapon.
No, but they
said that Zeus slept with Hera.
They did say that
that's what Ares said.
I would say she's a god, but I guess I could. Yeah, no, I'll guess, you know.
Demigod. Let's just go demigod.
Yeah, she's like Hercules with boobs.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm good with that. But because they did say he used the last of her power to create a weapon. So, yeah, I think Ryan's right. But technically.
Thank you. Technically, my ass. She's not a god. I mean, she was created as more of a potential warrior than the rest of the Amazonians.
But Ares said a god cannot be killed by anything but a god, but another god.
But Xena Warrior Princess, her weapons were god killers.
Yeah, James, what about Xena?
Yes,
I always liked their sidekick better. The little blonde.
Yeah, me too.
I'm trying to think. I did like that change, though.
Have you guys seen Kevin Sorbo recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually doing pretty good. I was actually surprised. Anyways,
I did kind of like what they did. I did kind of like what they did to her character. I mean, I was like, this is cool. I like the direction. I like the fact she carries a sword. I really like the innocent bit they're doing with it.
She doesn't carry a sword anymore. She broke it.
Yeah.
Like the how she was super innocent. I like that version instead of, you know, the, oh, this is Wonder Woman and she's used to mankind's blah, 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 blah. I dig it.
I'm right with you, man. I was really hoping that because I've discussed this previously in the past. I love her, like, there's a problem, let's go kill it kind of attitude, no matter what it is, you know, like,
well, that's
when she complimented in the cartoon, when she complimented the guy on having amazing ice cream, she did it pointing a sword at him.
Yeah.
You know, this just, it's like, it's an extension of her hand. It's her gesticulating with a sword. But I love that they added that. They kept that same attitude, that naive, let's go charge into battle moment.
Yeah.
And of course she would have a sword with her wearing a dress. Of course she would.
Yeah. I
like that.
Why would I not have my sword with me?
And I liked Danny Hudson. He played Ludendorff. He was the bad guy with the gas.
Ah.
He was an X-Men's origin. He plays a pretty good bad guy. I wouldn't say he was evil, but he was definitely a son of a bitch, which I like him as. Because he's a guy that you can kind of understand where he's coming from on some sort of level versus the super evil bad guy.
You know, I thought one of the things that I enjoyed, thought it was a nice touch for a British-style movie, was throwing in the guy Ewan Bremner. He's the guy from Trainspotting, Snatch, and...
Yeah.
We've done both of these. He is actually one of a fun actors. He was a sniper guy, John.
Yeah, no, I know who he was.
Yeah, I actually like him, and I thought it was a nice touch for British fans. Or
poor guy, he was in Pearl Harbor.
Dude, I wasn't doing that to him. Why would you do that to him?
Just decided to show us humanity.
I mean, other than Ben Affleck, no one needs to be known for that movie. Too late. So anyways, I enjoyed his character in this one. I thought it was a fun one, you know, like when he's like, we don't have money. He's like, I don't think you guys need me anymore.
So
that was a nice touch.
I'm still going to give this movie a 3 out of 5. I really like the cast. Chris Pine, I don't know. I mean, forget him or not. I mean, I don't think his character was important in the story. For him, he wasn't a standout role. 3 out of 5.
Really,
I think
don't think he was important to the story? That was like her first love interest.
Well, I guess I meant him, the actor itself, versus the character.
You think he could be done by someone else?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You know, so 3 out of 5. I mean, for me, I think this is a fair movie, a fair rating. James?
You know, I'm going to stick with the 3.5. I think as far as what DC has put out there recently, I think this one is on the top end. I don't think it is better than Suicide Squad by any means. So, you know, I can't push it up into the 4 thing yet. I think... DC's still got a ways to go to catch up to Marvel right now, especially since Marvel's put out, you know, the first class trio of films.
Ryan?
Really am sticking with the 4.5, man. I was such a fan of this movie, man. It was the parts that they did so well overshadowed any flaws that it would have. You know, it was such a solid, fun ass movie.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. If you have a movie you'd love us to do, please let us know, or even a piece of movie news you'd be interested in our opinion. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. Now we'll switch over to American Gods is it season one, episode 8?
Yes. And that was the season finale, surprisingly. I really am kind of disturbed. This is Stars.
Well, that's why.
And, you know, I am really disappointed that they stopped at 8 for a first season. I think that's really not planning ahead for them. I know that
I'll tell you what, James, I was thinking about this earlier. Like, that's some pretty high praise when all you can really say is, like, you bastards ended it early.
Yeah, that's really what,
like,
I gotta say.
Give me more, you sons of bitches. Like, I was so enjoying this thing, and I was like, oh, no, that was the last one. I thought I had one more.
Yeah,
so
I
any
thought
idea
I
had, how much this show actually more. Takes to make? Because the reason why I'm thinking it was so little is because it's probably such an expensive show to
you
produce.
You know, that's actually a good point, because they do have a lot of graphics and makeup. Like, the amount of makeup they use for Dead Wife, I mean, freaking the way they've done her is really amazing.
Like, for example, there was a sci-fi TV show called Farscape. The reason they actually stopped making it, because how ridiculously expensive per episode it was. So that's my guess, is they're making a limited run.
Farscape wasn't that bad.
Remember, Stars just got off a black sale. They got all the money in the world right now.
Good point.
You know, and matter of fact, Stars, I know you're listening, obviously.
Yeah.
Definitely need to do Stars Presents Treasure Island after that one. I need your version of Treasure Island after Black Sails. The movies from the 50s just don't fucking cut it. Anyway.
So,
I don't think it was incredibly expensive, and I don't think that's why. I think they might want to test the waters a little bit, see if it's going to be as popular, because it might not be a very well-known story. It came from Neil Gaiman, who's responsible for it was actually a novel written by Neil Gaiman. He's done the Sandman, graphic novels, and very, very, very good, prolific fucking writer. But does really hardcore kind of stories like that. Dark material.
Ryan, you comparing this to Black Sails reminded me of something. You may not remember, but I do. Black Sails season 1 was only 8 episodes as well.
That's a good point.
I just remember compared it, because I remembered it was a short season on season 1.
And the whole series itself is only like 39 episodes.
Yeah, they only did like 10 after it. It was an average of 10 episodes.
So I think
I like that. Where they went with that, I mean, obviously they had to end it at a certain point, otherwise you just fall right into Treasure Island. But I mean, obviously, based off of a novel, there is an ending. So I wonder if they're just trying to get 4 or 5 season episodes apiece.
That could be it. I want to get back to this episode.
Let me finish my, thank you. I was going to say, I agree
you
with...
Done?
You done yet? I agree with Ryan. Well, I've been trying to, skip it.
No, go ahead.
Because I agree with Ryan, Farris. I think what they're doing is they're doing what Amazon does. They're doing what Netflix does, releasing a short number of episodes just to see if people like it. If people like it more, they'll pump out more episodes.
Yeah.
Because that's not uncommon for, like, the Alphabet channels. What they'll do is they'll order a shorter season. The last couple of seasons of Numbers, for example, were half the episodes they were the previous episode seasons.
Yeah. Anyways, I really enjoyed this episode of American Gods. It was one that I've been telling a lot of people that I've known. Ryan can vouch for this one, is that the major Christian holidays are farces. Like, major farces of a bunch of mythology and pagan rituals all mixed in. And that's pretty much what they exposed in this episode, mostly focusing on Easter, but they even talked about a little bit of Christmas in this one as well, of St. Nicholas sharing his holiday with Jesus as well. And I think in that aspect of showing the underlying hypocrisy of most people's beliefs in the show is fun. And also, I love the fact that they introduce so many characters, give you no backstory or reasoning behind them. And if you know much about Nordic mythology, Greek mythology, Roman, you can kind of figure out who's who. But that's the real fun of this show, is the mystery of what you're going to experience in each episode.
Right, and the way that they sort of have explained it, I mean, and I haven't read the novel, so I don't know necessarily what to expect, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there saying, like, go read the book, it's better. Yeah. And look, I'm sure it is, but I'm enjoying the shit out of the show, and the way that it's, you know, if somebody believes in it, then it exists, which is why there's so many different Jesuses. That was my favorite part. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. But
that was awesome.
If that's the case, then everything is on the table. Everybody is on the table.
Yeah.
So then it's just almost a matter of time. Like, but when are we going to see so-and-so? Is this person going to come in? And it really kind of gets you involved in these interlocking, the Venn diagram of mythology. You know, it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to cut this conversation short. We give the show a must-watch. Thankfully, it's only 8 episodes. You could probably watch it in an afternoon. I bet a long afternoon being a 60-minute runtime.
Oh, dude, you get lost in it.
Next week is my pick, and I decided to pick the first Predator. It's one we haven't done yet.
Wow. Yeah, that is one.
Do we have a TV show?
We do, and this one, I am very excited for both of you to watch this one because I kind of put this show off on the back burner, and some reason I just kind of was like, hey, you know what, I'll throw it on, and I came across episode 17 and was watching the opening credits and said, I have to pick this show. We are going to be watching The Flash season 1 episode 17 called Trickster.
Okay.
So, and when you guys see who's in it, you'll know why.
Mark Hamill?
Yep.
Yeah, figured. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie Wonder Woman a 3 out of 5. James gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Next week, we're doing the very first Predator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, along with Flash Season 1, Episode 17.
Yep.
And ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.